Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave Solomon. Whew, it's good to be here today. Hey, actually, it's good to be anywhere, okay? That's a line from George Burns. I just had to say it. Oh my gosh. Talk about a show and a half today. Honey, I don't even know what to say. And I've been thinking about Alfredo Rodriguez from the other day, and actually Jeff Antoniak from several days ago now, and thinking about what they had to say about improvisation. Life is improvisation, as they both have stated, and that's absolutely true. I played Dave's intro for you, and then I thought, okay, if I don't see any particular number pop up, I'll play Daoud's intro music there. But it gives me an opportunity now to introduce you with music who I'm about to speak with. It's not that I'm a stranger to this gentleman, and actually we've got two gentlemen on the line, I think. But this particular gentleman that I'm going to introduce to you is a producer, an arranger, a composer, a person who has innovated music for decades, has worked with the best in the business because he is the best in the business. Because, you see, he is the uber trumpet meister. And I'm talking about the one, the only, Greg Adams, ladies and gentlemen. Hello.
Hey, Trish, are you there?
I sure am. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm great. Are we alone, Greg, or do you have the great JB with you?
Yes, Johnny Bamon is here with me. We've been playing together since 1968.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, you know what? Before we do anything else, Johnny, hello to you. How are you?
Good morning, Trish. How are you doing?
I'm just doing great. And by the way, Greg, that Last Supper East Bay Soul photo is on my timeline now.
Yeah, I know. That was funny, huh?
I love that pose.
We should have had one of the guys be Judas.
Well, you know what? The year is not over yet.
Yeah, I know. We can always do a retake. But anyway,
well,
you
listen.
Know, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, it's great to be with you today. We're here in Los Angeles, we finally got some rain yesterday. You know, we had such a long, hot summer, and it rained last night, and so we're looking out, it's kind of gloomy out, and everything's starting to turn green, you know. And I know you're back in Maryland.
Oh, yes.
Have you gotten your winter yet, or is it still pretty mild, huh?
You know what? When you guys come to town on the 29th, it's going to be, wow, it's coming up really, really soon. Yeah. I think that you're going to love it because we're supposedly going to get, all of us, a harsh winter, but we haven't seen that so far here in Maryland. And where you're going to be, in Annapolis, oh, God, are you guys going to love that?
we played the Rams Head a couple of years ago, before we even had the first East Bay Soul record out, and it was the band is completely different now than that. We had, at the time, we had Phil Perry singing, and Tom Scott, one of the saxophonists. And it's not a brand new band, but there are some new additions that everybody who is on the new 2.0 East Bay Soul record is going to be with us, except for our percussionist. He won't be with us this time. He has a prayer commitment, and he's going to be in Cabo San Lucas, poor guy.
Oh, that's a shame. I feel bad
for
him.
Yeah, I know. My heart breaks for him. But
yeah,
anyway,
right.
Yeah, Ramstead on the 29th. We're looking forward to it. We love Annapolis, and it's such a great little town. Our hotel accommodations the last time we were there were a little bit dicey to say.
Oh, really?
Least. Yeah, it was kind of. They didn't have really one hotel for us, so the band was kind of spread out all over town. It was kind of
oh
nice.
My!
Within a couple of blocks, walking to the club, but it was just kind of funny. We were in and out so quick, but this time we're coming in, and the night before, and we're going to be on the prowl for some crab cakes, and you know the whole thing. So, and Annapolis is down by the water, so it should be really nice, and we're really we're really hoping the folks come out to see the band. You know, we're trying to establish ourselves, and we're on a little swing back there for in Annapolis, and then we're in Boston for the 30th and the 31st at Scullers.
Oh, I know. That is so anticipated, you have no idea. We've got a lot of buzz going in this region about East Bay Soul not only coming to Maryland, but also to Scullers, because, you know, we talk all the time, fellow musicians in the Baltimore, Washington, Philly area, Virginia, and man, Greg, you really do rock. I mean, you are the subject for conversation a lot in these parts.
Oh, thanks. You know, it's like I said, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and like I said, we went to high school together. So in some form, we have played together for that many years. I mean, he subbed for Doc and Tower of Power a few times when Doc needed a little sabbatical, and this band when I left Tower in 1995. I put the band together in 96, and Johnny was my first call to play baritone saxophone. He plays all the saxes and flutes, but,
yes.
You know, it's a big band. It's 10 pieces, and, you know, we got a four-piece horn section, sometimes five, because Daryl Walker, our singer, he plays tenor saxophone. So it's kind of like the classic setup that I had with Tower of Power, two trumpets and three saxes. So we get a nice little sound. We're going to, after rehearsal today, which we're going to have to probably, you know, keep our conversation a little shorter than last time. We have a rehearsal today to put together the Christmas show.
Oh, good.
That
yeah.
We're
okay.
Doing back. Well, you know, we're doing a Christmas show in San Francisco on the 19th, and then
yes.
We go at Yoshi's, and then we do Spaghettini's the 21 and 22. And we're doing like six Christmas songs. It's a really cool little show. We won't be playing the Christmas music back east, but we do one song by the great Charles Brown named, it's called What Are You Doing New Year's Eve? It's a classic song. It's great.
Oh, absolutely.
Houston.
That's great.
But we're, with the five-piece horn section, we're going to go in the studio after rehearsal today and record the national anthem, because I have interest in a lot of some of the baseball teams that want us to do the national anthem at the games. So we're going to record it so they get a taste of what it sounds like. It's a thing I did years ago with Tower of Power horn section. And we, excuse me, we played it for the Raiders and the Giants, and it always goes over well. You know, it's a great, and when it's for the Raiders, it was a great chance to meet the Raiderettes, which is always a highlight in the game.
Sure. Well, you know what? You let me know when you have to go. I have to get your input, both of you. JB, please feel free to chime in with this, because, honest to gosh, I think that after last night, you might be selling more tickets than you might think as far as any of these gigs are concerned, at Spags or at Yoshi's or coming to Ram's Head and then to Scullers, because I'm telling you what, I felt very proud to be 60 years old last night when I saw that 12-12-12 concert, can I just say?
Yeah.
Because the musicians who were of our generation kicked strong booty on that stage at Madison Square Garden last night.
Yeah.
And I think that seasoned pros like both of you are going to get a new look from different kinds of generations now, because that was one of the coolest butt shows I have ever seen, and almost all of the folks involved were not what you would call spring chickens.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because we were, Mary and John, Johnny and his wife Mary, they live in the Bay Area, and they drove down last night and stayed here at the house, and it's kind of funny. I saw it in the newspaper that it was going to happen. It was at 7:30 local, you know, West Coast time last night. And I guess it was tape delayed because it started at 4:30 our time. But, you know, we got drinking some wine and had some that TV show went right past us. And I looked in the newspaper today, and there was a picture of Mick Jagger. I said, oh, that's right, we missed that show.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's too bad. But I hear it was great. And
oh, you have to go back and see. You do.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll rerun it. I know they will, but it's a trip. I don't see him very much often anymore, but I used to always run into Mick at a rehearsal studio when he was doing his kind of his solo thing. And this is when I was still in Tower. You know, we worked with the Stones on at Candlestick Park on a live show many years ago. So we've known the guys for a long time, but he looks great.
He does. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you who looked even better, because the last time I saw him, he didn't look too good at all. He was looking elderly, Paul McCartney at the Olympics. I don't know what has happened in this past few months, but it looked like the Paul McCartney I first saw in 1963 on that stage last night. And there's rumors that he might reorganize Nirvana with Dave Grohl. Hello?
Yeah. You know, I said he did the thing with Chris, the bass player from Nirvana, right?
I guess because
Chris Christolich, or I can't, I could never get his name right, but big tall guy, man. He's like 6'6" or something like that. He's a real presence when he walks into a room, but a really very soft spoken guy. But yeah, I read that in the newspaper this morning about that whole thing at the end of the show, right?
Oh yeah, it was really, really crazy and warm and very holiday feeling, and I was thinking of you, Greg, and I was thinking of how many years you've put into music, and I thought, oh my God, it would be so awesome to see Greg and East Bay Soul on that stage, because you had to be really careful about how you ended a show like that. It had to end on a high note, and when I think of EBS and what you have been able to do to create such dedication in people, you know, the chat room right now is full of your funk soldiers, true
really?
Funk soldiers.
Well, I send them all my love, and we're marching on, as they say, to the funk wars, but we're really looking forward to this series of shows that are coming up in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think the people who are able to come to the shows, especially the Christmas shows, it's a real. I always say we kind of make the room kind of Snugsville. You know what I mean? It's kind of has a warmth to it and a glow, and just that this time of year, it kind of, I don't know. It's nice to like kind of, you know, listen to a few carols and Christmas songs. We do Walking in a Wonderland, Silver Bells, and it's Christmas time. You know the Charlie Brown thing that Vince Guaraldi wrote? And
of course, yes.
And the Christmas song, you know, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. And, you know, it just, you know, we still play our show, but we kind of do a little here and there, and it's nice. I try to pick songs that people can, you know, will know, the real familiar ones they can maybe even sing along.
Yeah, well, the great thing is Greg's done these arrangements on these classic tunes that are just,
oh, I'll bet,
really, really cool arrangements, and there are places where the band gets a chance to stretch a little bit, so there's a little, you know, some nice little twists and turns in these tunes that I think people are like, especially jazz aficionados, yeah.
Well, the thing is, we like walking in a winter wonderland. I mean, let's face it, you know, it's the song is what it is. It's a classic. It's a chestnut. It's a what can you do to make it? You know, it's a little corny, but it is what it is, and everybody knows it. So, in the middle of the song, we drop into a cut time, kind of a hard bop swing thing, and open it up for solos in the horn section. So, but we played it the changes of the song. So it's really cool. And last year, I was listening to a recording of it last year, and it was like the bop section was like 7 minutes long, and the rest of the song is like three. So we got out of control, and that's the beauty of it. It's like we just let it go, and that's the beauty of this band, because it's such. Even it being a big long freight train with 10 guys in it, the agility is really there. You know, we can turn on a dime, and that's one of the it's a great ensemble, and I can't stress enough to people out there, if you're in the area, please come, and you will enjoy it. So, and especially Ramshead, that's a beautiful club to play.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's one of the most noted smaller venues in the country and actually the world. And thinking about all of you guys on that stage is just amazing. You talk about the perfect time of year to see an ensemble like you because, you know, just looking at the photographs of all of you together, honestly, the love and the camaraderie just pops out from the page. And to see you guys play in a venue where everybody has a good seat and everybody can get in having some great food and some nice spirits, if you will, at the club, I can't think of a better gift to give to somebody because that's what I'm encouraging folks to do. Not only go, but also you want to do something cool, give the gift of music. Go see a live event and support East Bay Soul at Ram's Head or wherever.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. You know, and we hear that it's selling well and
oh yeah,
activations. You know, that's the one thing you probably should start looking at because the seats are going fast. That's what we just heard a couple of days ago. So, and like you said, it's a great restaurant. I remember when we played there before. I'm a foodie. I love good food. And,
I know you are.
You know, I remember clubs that have good food, and I remember clubs that don't have such good food. And I remember that this is a great club for food. I mean, the restaurant was great, and they're so nice there. I mean, it's a nice environment. It's not like, you know, some clubs are clip joints. This place is really nice, and the people there are really nice. The staff was treated us great, and they treat the audience really well. So, like you said, it's a great place to come and see live music.
Oh, my gosh. And Greg, you know this already, but let me tell you something. JB, if you haven't experienced this before, Annapolis, since it's so pivotal to Maryland, it's on the water. A whole bunch of people go there for day trips. There is some of the best restaurants in the extended region, and everything you go to feels like blue collar with the kind of sort of fellowship you have when you go to these little cafes because there really are cafes, but it also feels like some place you would go to bring your best friend or your mom or your wife. It's just really upscale, and the best audiences come. You are not going to be able to forget the love you get when you come to Ram's Head that night. I'm telling you.
Oh, honey, I was back there. Oh, geez, almost a year ago, I guess. I played a concert and did an adjudication for the College of Southern Maryland down in La Plata.
Yeah.
We had quite a crowd at the college. It was on the campus, the concert and the contest. You know, it was a band contest. And so I called the band director for this college, and when I knew we were booked for this show, I said, you know, we're going to be at Ram's Head on, you know, the 29th, and I just want you to maybe spread the word because there were so many folks that bought the CD after the concert that night that I think we're going to have maybe a rush at the box office at the last minute because they seem to be all very interested in seeing the band because I sold so many CDs after the concert. I must have sold 100 CDs. So,
Oh, my gosh.
Could be a good crowd, like I'm saying. There are seats available, but it probably would be wise to call and make a reservation at this point because you know it's running out. We're sold out on New Year's Eve in Boston, and of course that's a tiny little room, but it's each seat is very coveted because it is such an intimate room. And Ram's Head is very intimate too, although it's larger than Sculler's. But you know that. The look of the room, the stage at Ram's Head is really nice, and the sound is good and all that. So, like you said, it's really an optimum place to come and see live music.
Yeah, especially this band. You know, you don't get a chance to see a large horn section with singing and and such a, you know, eclectic collection of types of music that we play, it's you know, it'd be exciting for people to check the band out, definitely.
Oh, well, gosh. And honestly, Greg and JB, collectively, when you look at the experience of each of the members of East Bay Soul, it's so crazy. I mean, Johnny, I was just so fascinated to delve into your background because, you know, Huey Lewis, Donna Summer, Larry Carlton, Sly and the Family Stone, Four Tops, that's your background.
We're listening to music like that when we were growing up, and you get to play it. And besides playing all the different kind of jazz and symphonic music that we did, and then to get out and play with you know, luckily with these different icons of the music business, it's Greg and I have been really fortunate just to you know, to get to play all these different types of music and play with artists, you know, that we really grew up listening to.
And you know what's so funny about both of you, that is hilarious. You can always tell the artists who have a sense of humility about what they have done through the years, because both of you have suggested that you've played with these great people, and meanwhile, those great people are going, oh, God, I got a chance to play with Greg and Johnny last night. you two are so legendary in the business yourself, with the extensive, I mean, people have been asking to play with you for years. We can't even go through the itinerary or the lineup of folks that you have both played with. It's just been so astronomical. But God bless you. You both have this amazing and sweet humility about you. And when that happens, honestly, the music is magic, because you all know when you're playing together that it's such a team effort, and you want the other to shine. And people just, it's a healing experience. Greg, we've talked about this.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a unique experience for a band this size, that when somebody is in the spotlight, whether it be Daryl singing or Michael Paulo taking a solo or Johnny taking a solo or whoever's at, you know, is in the front line to carry, how the band kind of just comes in and cradles the soloist or you know, and in support, you know. That's the whole thing. I think that, you know, music is a language, and we the better we speak the language, the better we communicate with each other, and the better we communicate with the audience. And
yeah,
it's all about communicating. And sure, I think that the humility plays a big part in it, because, you know, and you know, like Johnny and I think, you know, having worked with so many people in the business, you know, it's not... I don't like the word sideman, because it seems a little, you know, demeaning to be called a sideman. Although it's a universal moniker for guys like us who have played on so many hundreds of recordings and session players and stuff like that, and that's what makes you, you know, it hones your skill and your craft, and it makes you be able to communicate and understand how, you know, you adapt to a certain style when you walk into the studio and you sit down and you look at the music that's been put in front of you, and you put on your headphones and they roll the track and you record the parts, you know, whether I wrote the parts or somebody else wrote the parts, you know, it's the end result, and we all speak our language, and if we speak in unison, then we're the strength in numbers, and especially when you have 10 guys on the stage.
Yeah.
We're all speaking the same, from the same playbook, you know, we're playing from the same score, and so that's the intensity of the music being well rehearsed and agile enough to, like I said, turn on a dime, you know, that's the beauty of it, and I think that's what one of the strongest points of this band, and that's what I wanted to do when I you know, put this whole thing together, because, you know, I'm a slave to the big band. Obviously, if anybody knows Power, and that from where I came from. So when I went back to basically my roots. I knew, even though we had a seven-piece, and Johnny and I were the horn players, and you know, we didn't expand it to the big horn section, we still had a big sound, even at seven-piece, you know, and I just did, like, you know, added on a few more bodies on stage, and I was really able to go back to what I really like to do the best, is write for a, and it's a small orchestra, you know, and it's like you have more colors on the palette with more people, you know.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's a good description. And I was thinking of different collaborations, Greg, that you've done through the years, and you definitely have to go back and check the show from last night, because your friend Paul Schaefer did a masterful job, by the way.
See, I didn't know that Paul was there. Was he an MC, or was he part of the backup band for some of the artists?
He actually had a bit of a spotlight. You're going to have to see for yourself.
I have to give him a call. I did the Letterman show a few months ago.
It was
fun. I was filling in for the new guy that wasn't able to make it until like a week later. And I've known Paul for so many years, and so he called me up and said, "Would you like to do the show for a week?" I said, "You bet, man. When do you want?" And so I went back and had a great time. You know, it was a lot of fun, and Paul is just such a great musician and a dear friend.
Oh yes.
So I'm gonna have to find somewhere where they replaying this show. I guess we really missed out on something. We were here at in the dining room last night, just gabbing and drinking wine, and none of us knew that it was on TV, although I saw it, but I was out of sight, out of mind, you know. And even so, I don't think that would have stopped us from our hilarity last night. But I will find a rerun somewhere.
And actually, it will, most of it anyway, is going to, both of you, JB and Greg, it's going to inspire and fuel you as musicians. It's just going to make you feel so good about what you have done through the years. Honest to gosh, my son and my son's dad, my ex, was here to watch the show, and I was just thinking of East Bay Soul and you, Greg, and thinking, oh, this is so, it brings together so much of our background. You both have such various backgrounds, and I grew up in Philadelphia listening to Motown and rock, and jazz was a part of that scene too. For those of us who've had such varied backgrounds, to witness something like this for the benefit of folks who got skewered with Superstorm Sandy, it was mind-blowing. So much money came into that endeavor last night, and it made you feel great to not only be a part of music in this day and age that we're living in, but also it made you feel good to be a human being. It was just, whew, you're going to get high looking.
Now we got to go find where it's going to air again, because I got to see this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. What do you want to see happen for East Bay Soul, both of you, in 2013? What's on the horizon?
Well, hopefully we'll be able to get out and have people experience our music, more people see it, and get to a few more venues and get airplay, and, you know, that's the big thing. It's like the music on the CD is great. It sounds,
mm-hmm.
It's live. I mean, it's a whole nother, you get to hear the music, but experience, you know, the band live and see how versatile everybody is and how much talent there is in the band, and it really is something to see live, and that's hopefully we'll get that out to people a lot more in 2013.
I think one of the things is you know, it's some of the same old not the same old but the same people that keep showing up at the same shows, I think one of our objects is to break open that door and get in that door to the venues that really, I think, people would like to see a little bit something fresh and newer and different than what they're being served. You know, if you get hamburger every night, you get tired of hamburger. And we're filet mignon, so. But I'm partial, you know. But you know, I think with the economy starting to turn around, I've noticed that things are. We're not through it yet, but I think things are turning around and getting better, and that will enable us to get out and let people see and hear the band, because that is our mission, is to hit the road and play more cities next year, because the band is just in its prime, you know. It hasn't peaked at all by any means, but it's in its prime and it's ready to go. And, you know, we can go weeks without playing a show, and we'll just throw together a little couple, 2-3 hour rehearsal just to get it out and dust it off a little bit. And then the beauty of it is the fact that the musicianship is so high that we can just kind of go with the flow, and it just kind of falls into place like as if we've just played 8 nights in a row. It's amazing to me that the band can just rise to the occasion. So, like I said, we're rehearsing for the next 2 days, and rehearsal starts at noon, and we're going to work on the Christmas music and run through a few things and hit the road next week, and looking forward to the new year and being in your town soon, anywhere USA.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, we're really excited. And I have to tell you that there was a Los Angeles Times article that my friend and your friend Greg, BJ, sent to me via Facebook the other day, talking about the fact that young people are really starting to get into music that is not necessarily of their generation. They want to hear what has been, and they want to hear pros who have been doing their thing for a while. They're digging back. So I expect to see a lot of young faces into see East Bay Soul, because it's starting to speak to a whole bunch of people that we hadn't even thought of before. So be prepared for a monumental 2013, honest.
You know, I think that, like BJ was, you know, that article in the Times, I saw that, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, music is cyclical, you know, it kind of goes around in a circle, there's a lot of kids out there that are wind instrument players, saxophone, trumpet, whatever, you know, that's just using the horn players as an example, that there has to be some kind of an example that you can look to. Like for me, when I was a teenager, it was Blood, Sweat, and Tears. That was And of course I knew and listened to James Brown and the Famous Flames, and saw him on the Ed Sullivan Show once with like a 20-piece band. He had like 12 horns and stuff like that. It was like I was blown away, doing Cold Sweat. I
mean,
when I was a teenager, it was Chicago and Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And then, you know, one thing to notice is you're right. Young people, they look to see something that they can identify with. And the horn players, you know, they always glommed on the Tower of Power. There was never a shortage of young trumpet geeks in the front row checking us out, you know. So, you know, same thing with us. You know, we get a lot of young kids who are just, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old. So, yeah, you're right. And it really is it's good to see, because, you know, sometimes you wonder – some of these bands that sell millions of records, they're really not players. They're instrument owners. You know what I mean? They didn't go to I hark back to the music being a language. You know, if you study the language, you're going to be better. And some of these guys that I can't even tell you the names of these groups, because I don't care that much. But I always wonder how they got there, because it's basically a haircut. You know, it's not. It's not chops. So, you know, but don't get me started on that. I could go over.
I know, because we were talking about this last time, and, man, that was an hour that zipped by. And I know that you don't have that hour to spare this time, so tell me when you need to go. But honest to gosh, both of you, there are a contingent of us coming to this event. By the way, ramsheadonstage.com. that's where to find tickets. And you need to go there in the next couple of days to get those tickets because they are going fast. But, man, are we looking forward to hearing that kind of energy. We don't necessarily hear that kind of energy all the time, Greg. And for us to hear what is basically a West Coast sound, oh, my God, we're tripping. We're tripping.
Well, what's going to be great is, you know, you get a combination with this band of instrumental music and really, really good vocal and written songs that really say a lot. I mean, it's, you don't see a band that has a combination of vocals and instrumentalists that are at the level that we're at, and it's that's what's so much fun about the band. We just enjoy being around each other, playing with each other, and that's what translates to the audience. So there are some great songs. I mean, because we're in Annapolis and there's a high there's a lot of military there. There's one song that's called "I'm Coming Home" that that's definitely hits home for people that have been serving in the military, and but to have a combination of vocals and instrumental music, I think people are really going to have a good time seeing the band and hearing us and seeing what we do, and especially for the people. Yeah.
Well, and Ramstad is such a great place to see the band because it's a nice sized stage where we can kind of spread out. Sometimes the stages that we do play, we're like shoulder to shoulder. If you turn one way, you're going to dent somebody's horn, or your own horn. At Scholars, it's a tiny little stage, but the room is just so magic. But last time we were there, we played and we finished our show. And basically, when you walk on the stage, they kind of part a couple of tables, and you walk on stage, then they push those tables. You are on stage until you're finished, and there was really no point of moving 10 people off the stage and then coming back for an encore. And I said, well, we really can't. I said to the audience, well, that's it. We're done. You want to hear, we can't really leave. You want to hear another? And somebody said, yeah, about three or four more, So we basically did another mini set before we left the stage. I think we were on stage for like 2.5 hours. But Ramstad, great venue to see the band, and it's wonderful. Like we were saying before, it's a great room, And like you said, Trish, the ramsheadonstage.com, get your reservations in there today because it, like you said, we think it's going to be a sellout, and with the folks out there and their help, we can make it a sellout, right?
Oh, no question. Matter of fact, I'll be talking to either Valerie or Chris from the venue in the next couple of days, and I'll get the real story from them. But I think they're pretty excited about what's going on as far as ticket sales are concerned.
Hey, we look forward to it so much. We have always had a great time going to the East Coast, although it's too few and far between, but it's something that the band always looks forward to, whether it's New England or the northern coast or Florida or wherever we go. We always have a great time, What's kind of cool is the fact that we get to fly in the day ahead, so we'll be rested and ready to go on the first night at Ramstad, because it's not, you can't fly from L.A. to Baltimore and play a show that night. It's just...
No way. No.
physically impossible. I'm getting too old for that kind of stuff.
No, you're not. You're always going to be one of those young vets.
I like the fact that we're going to have the night off, and we're staying very close to the club. So, that little area there, that neighborhood is so cool. It's a nice place to get dinner and of course, looking for some crab cakes. I love crab cakes.
I know you do, and your lovely wife and I have had some communication about where you should go, so she's got that info.
Oh, cool. Yeah. It's one time years ago, Steve Grove, who played tenor sax in Tower of Power, he goes by the moniker of now, gag me, Huge Groove, as I can't spell it. But anyway, he's from Hagerstown, and
yep.
He took us to his parents' house one night off, the whole band, Tower, and his dad had gotten like 3 or 4 bushels of crabs, and he set up a big long table and put butcher paper on it and handed everybody a wooden mallet and said, go at it. Man, it was the deepest, deepest, you know, Blue Crabs, right?
Oh, my God, yeah. You I'm not exactly sure because, you know, I'm a Philly girl, so I've learned a lot having been in Baltimore. But, oh, my God, if you get them when it's right, it is like having filet mignon. No
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, it's yeah. awesome. And you're probably going to, JB, I'm telling you this ahead of time. If you haven't partaken, you will be telling everybody back on the West Coast about your culinary experiences.
Yeah, well, I love crab, and that would be a great experience.
You know, is it in season now?
You know what? I'll have to ask my chat room because we've got some Baltimore folks that are paying attention, so I'll put it to them. Here it is, December the 13th that we're doing this. So I think that Matt is probably going to answer my question. Matt in the chat room, answer. Are crabs in season right now? I don't know. Isn't that awful that I shouldn't know that? Oh, my gosh.
The reason, you know, one of the good things of coming in the night before is the fact that we will be finding a restaurant that you've probably told Andrea about and get a good meal before we do the show at Ramshead. So.
And listen, don't even worry about the crabs in and of themselves to pick apart, because usually folks do that in the summertime. If you want crab cakes, Greg, you are going to have no problem picking out one of the cooler places in the region to get them, honest to gosh.
That's great. Well, we're looking forward to it, Trish. You know,
yep.
We'll see you there at Ramshead, right?
Yep, you certainly will.
29th. So we're going to run.
Yep.
We've got a few things together, get our horns and packed up and go to the rehearsal. So thanks so much for having us, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Trish. Well,
yes, I'm so tickled. And, JB, thank you so much, and God bless both of you. Have a wonderful Christmas, and BJ, we'll see you at Spags.
See you later.
See you later.
See ya. Bye-bye. Yes. Oh, my gosh, that was so much fun. Who you heard was Greg Adams and Johnny Bamont. And those two are rocking East Bay Soul, and we're going to rock you right now because we're going to have a little mini concert, if you will, from East Bay Soul 2.0. How's about that? When you go to Greg Adams' website or you go to East Bay Soul, you will hear this song, and I have to play this because this is one of those songs that gives me a rush. And when you see them live, this is the rush you're going to get. This is The Getaway on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We'll be right back. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
that too many of you cry. Brother, 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 far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in. Father, we don't need to escalate. No, no. You see, war is not the answer. Only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some understanding here today. Picket lines. Don't punish me with brutality. Come talk to me so you can see.
I'd be happy to tell you what's going on. Oh, did I say that out loud? Daryl Walker with East Bay Soul from East Bay Soul 2.0. Oh, my gosh. He tackles that Marvin Gaye song like nobody's business. My God. He's got a right to sing anything he wants. He's just so badass. I got to say that. He's just awesome. And when he, in combination with the musicianship of East Bay Soul, gets together, it's like nobody's business. We heard four songs, The Getaway, To Catch a Thief, Brassalicious, and What's Going On from East Bay Soul. Thanks so much to Greg and to Johnny for stopping by. That was nice. And we're going to plow ahead with another interview in mere moments. I want you to hear Demetrius Neighbors from Christmas with Crayon. and his take on piano of the first Noel on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Well, well, well. We were doing two songs by Demetrius Neighbors from Christmas with Crayon, and already we have from the chat room a mini review. Griselda says, Demetrius did an amazing job making this song sound more mature. That's awesome. Oh, it's such a pleasure to give you such an astoundingly talented gentleman who has one of those backgrounds that a lot of musicians would just covet. Silly to covet because everybody's got their different gifts. But when you have a background where you're raised in church, trained in the classics, hear the rhythm of what's happening on Detroit streets, and then have a love of jazz, and you're able to translate all of that, what you have is Demetrius Neighbors. Hey, my friend, how are you?
Hey, Trish, how you doing?
I'm just doing great. It's so good to hear you. Man, I love this CD so much.
Thank you so much. I got to put a disclaimer out there right quick.
I'm always
doing something, Trish. So right now I'm like on the road heading to another city, which is about an hour away for a Christmas show with Karen Newman. So it's crazy. Today is crazy, and my baby is sick. I had to pick her up early. I had to do the daddy thing first again, and then now I'm on the road. So if you hear a bunch of noise, just know I'm on the freeway.
Oh, bless your heart. And I know that you are a daddy from the word jump. So I know about those duties because we had a situation last time where you were calling me, and it was one of those things where you had to take care of some family business.
Oh, my God. Yes, it's always something when I have these interviews. I don't know what it is. I mean, you know, but we get through it, though. Everything, you know, runs smoothly and runs fine. So,
Well, look. Hi, Demetrius.
Everybody that's listening, I love this lady. She supports me. She believes in me. Thank you so much. And Jingle Bell sounded pretty cool. That was all right. It was all right.
Didn't it? Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. And you know, because I slobbered over writing a review for you for Christmas with Crayon. I did. I slobbered. And,
that review was amazing. Amazing.
Oh, God bless you. Well, look, you have turned out some amazing music. You know, God's really given you a gift, Demetrius. You know that's true. You'd be the first one to say that because you were raised to be a believer. You know where all gifts come from. Woohoo!
Oh, definitely. You know, I told this in one of my other interviews when I did the first project. That I, you know, growing up, I used to be, you know, I just have to put it out there. I used to have an issue with, you know, I grew up in gospel, and I'm like, I really want to just say jazz and classical and everything, but God knew what he was doing. When I tell you I embrace my gospel roots now because he has allowed this musical journey to shape me, and it's causing such, you know, people are just starting to notice, and I'm not ashamed about it at all. So I'm just happy that, you know, he allowed me to take the musical journey that I've taken.
Demetrius, you know what? I'm glad you raised that point, and maybe this will change even more how appreciative you are. There is a superstar in the business at this point, and I'm not going to say names, but there is one of these flavor of the week artists, vocalists, and I heard this person, and I've been hearing this person for a little while. She's been doing her thing for a while, and I appreciate everybody's talent. But she had mentioned a couple of years ago that she cannot relate to other folks who are in the same sort of category as to what kind of genre that she does. She cannot relate to people who have been brought up in the church. She was not raised in the church. she can't relate to folks who have been. She comes from a different direction. And honest to gosh, I hear the difference.
Do you?
Yes. It's not that everybody has to be raised in the church, mind you, but when I hear her sing, it sounds hollow to me.
Another thing is being raised in the church, you know, you depend on your higher power. I depend on God to give me the anointing, you know, and I hope when people hear my music, they hear a difference and they wonder what it is, and, you know, and there's an anointing on it. So that can be the difference between her and I, just from her not being raised is, you know, God gives us talents. So you can get a talent or have a gift without being anointed.
Yes.
So gifts come by repentance. So, I mean, you know, if that can happen, it's a lot of gifted people, but they're not anointed. And I believe because I keep my faith in him and I reverence him, I know who has given me the gift, and I know for a fact who can take it away at any given second. That's why I'm so appreciative when anyone from a dog, a cat, to the President of the United States give me a compliment about when they hear me perform or anything musically. I don't take it for granted because I know at any given minute, Trish, and we have seen where somebody was living a day and they're not able to do something tomorrow, or, you know, it could be taken away just like that. So I don't take it for granted.
Oh, yeah. I know you don't. And here's the thing. Oh, we could get into a deep subject here. Woo!
Yeah, we could. But, you know, hey, it's your show.
No, listen, it's really worthy to talk about this because, you know, people don't think things through. And my son and I have had these discussions, and whoa. The thing is that once you know that God has given you that talent, and then you ease on down the road where you start to think it's just you, oh, Lord, are you going to get into some trouble?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I just turned 37 last Tuesday.
Woo-hoo!
So, you know, I'm happy about seeing another year. But I used to wonder, like, you know, Lord, why haven't I, you know, basically been put in the spotlight, or you haven't allowed the music to happen, or, you know, it's been a slow journey and things like that. But I've noticed, you know, with my musical journey that he allowed me to see things so I can learn from them. So when it's time for me, I wouldn't make the same mistakes a lot of, you know, other musicians have made. And I appreciate it. I've learned so much just being in the background, you know, watching other musicians, watching, you know, how musicians and artists are arrogant. And, you know, I've seen the ups and the downs, but I've learned more from the downside of, you know, the negative part of it. And I'm like, I don't want to be like that. I want to stay humble and, you know, just be able to just express musically, but not be as arrogant as I would say, butthole. That's the political way I could say it.
What's the political way of saying it? What is it?
Not being a butthole.
A butthole.
not being a butthole. That's the political way. I can get away with that. But, you know, everybody has to know exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, my God, yes. And you know what? Yesterday, my son and I were at the store, and he's got great sensitivity to people and what they endure. And there was a gentleman crossing the street, parking lot actually, who had a walker. And he said, "Oh my gosh, look at him. Oh, I feel so badly for him." And I said, "Honey, you know what? What you see this gentleman going through, that's a surface thing that we see. He might be happy as can be, knowing that God's got a purpose for him. And honestly, what we don't see people going through, even people who have reached the highest pinnacle of the entertainment industry, I mean, Demetrius, 2012 has told us that the very people that we might aspire to be have the worst problems that we could ever imagine.
Oh, yeah, you are definitely right about that. You know, that's why I'm happy I've learned to appreciate in all my years. You know, of course, you know, when you're young, you know, you think a certain way, but as you get older and experiences happen in life, you come to realize I'm happy that God has given me everything I need. I might not have everything I want,
right,
but I have everything I need. You know, because you can have a lot of money. Your finances can be on top. And we know superstars or, you know, famous individuals who are like that. They have all the money in the world, but they're not happy. They're not happy. They're lonely, you know, but I have everything I need, and I'm very happy about that.
And here's another thing. You have a family who fully appreciates you for you, so you don't have to ever worry that should something pop with you where all of a sudden you are a household name, you know the people who have been in your corner from get.
Exactly. I hold those people. I hold my family and friends who are my really good friends and my supporters. You know, I hold it to my heart really dear. You know, I really look at the people who support me when you can say, as people would say, you wasn't about nothing or you were aspiring to be something. I look at the people who has been on my team or who has supported me, you know, till now and, you know, will continue. Because the more famous you get or the more you're out here, you don't know people's motives. You just don't know.
That's right. You know, the stronger that your light shines, the more it gets in the faces of those who wish it to go out.
Yes, exactly.
Woo! I mean, you have to come from a strong place, and you come from a strong place. So God has opened enough doors for you to be able to discern those who have motivations toward you that are pure of heart and those who don't.
Amen. You're right about that.
Yeah. How did, you know, well, one of the things I wanted to ask you about the project Christmas with Crayon is how did you arrive at the decision to do these particular songs? We played the first Noel, and I love that arrangement, by the way. I really do.
Thank you.
And then Jingle Bells. It's really cool because all of these are so tastily arranged. I love it.
You know, that actually happened on the fly. When I finally decided to do the album, and I'm going to answer the first question, the album was inspired by, you know, everybody was asking me to, you know, they was asking, was I going to record a Christmas album? And I was like, no, because I'm so busy with doing other projects, and I'm busy with the master's program, trying to finish that up at school and with work. I was just so busy, and I didn't think I had time to do it. And what I wound up doing, just as a gift to everyone, I recorded Christmas Time Is Here, you know, that's on the album. And
yeah.
I just recorded. I was sitting down, and I just recorded it. I didn't have no arrangement to it or anything. I didn't know how it was going to flow. I just flowed. And from that 2 minutes and 14 seconds, people kept asking, why don't you put that out? Why don't you go ahead and just do an album? Just solo piano. That's all you got to do. And ironically, my family wound up going out of town for the holiday. And I was like, you know what? I said, Lord, I'm going to pray and meditate, and whatever comes out starting Wednesday, or you could say pre-Thanksgiving, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I said, I'm going to record from Wednesday to Sunday. That's the only window I have to record this project. And at the end of Sunday, whatever is there, that's what we're going to put out. If it's 5 songs, 6 songs, 7 songs. And so I recorded from Wednesday to basically, yeah, Wednesday to Sunday, and all the songs were done, and I just had to do a little touch-up on Monday, and I wanted to, get my bass player on one song that went over, but basically everything was recorded in 6 days. Everyone, I am telling the truth. I had no arrangement set, nothing. You know, we all know Christmas songs. So, you know, I prayed, meditated, and this, what you hear is what came out from those evenings just praying and meditating. Jingle Bells was not, I wrote out all my favorite Christmas songs. You know, I just wrote a list because I didn't know which ones I really wanted to do. I wrote a list, and Jingle Bells was nowhere on there because I don't like Jingle Bells.
Well, they like you.
Right, Jingle Bells to me is just for the little kids, you know, and I'm like, I'm trying to reverence God with this Christmas album. I'm like, Jingle Bells? But again, I pray and meditate before I compose anything. That's what I do. So I was sitting up there, as far as Jingle Bells is concerned, and I was actually trying to work on Silent Night. And so I played this loop, and I was like, oh, I really like this loop that you hear in a song. It sounds like a guitar wah-wah, but that's a loop. So I was like, okay, I really like this loop. What could I use it for? And next thing you know, I heard Jingle Bells in my ear. I said, God, for real, Jingle Bells. Now, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm very spiritual. So, yes, I was talking to God like that. I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody, but this, you know, she's interviewing me. But that's what I heard, Trish. I said, Jingle Bells, really? And then I kept hearing it in my head. I said, okay, let's track it out and see what it is. And so Jingle Bells is for the lovers. You know, that's you know, it's sexy. And, you know, it's jingling the bell, but it ain't jingling the bell that, you know, you used to. It's jingling something else for the lovers.
don't be surprised, though. Don't be surprised if you have a one-to-one with somebody who comes up to you after the show and just wants to thank you, and you get involved in a situation where you're talking about getting saved, and you say, how to come to Jesus, and somebody says, Jingle Bells from you.
Well, you know, God, he allows us to reverence him, but he also, you know, wants married couples to, you know, get involved and have fun, have a romantic evening. So that's what Jingle Bells is for. It's made for that moment for you to cuddle up and you do what you do, you know, whatever that is. So, but it's just amazing how it came out because that was not part of the plan.
Well, it does conjure a little bit of a fireplace mood and some action under the tree. Okay, so that's all I'm gonna say.
Everybody is so amazed by the arrangement. I was amazed because I'm like, okay, dashing through the snow, how am I going to do this? And I just, you know, again, I just kept going. I was like, wow. That's what I said at the end of Jingle Bells. I was like, amazing.
Yes, honest to gosh. And there are a few songs that really stopped me in my tracks because you don't normally get prepared for changes in certain songs that you have known since you were a little kid. And,
yeah.
and to hear you go through some changes, I mean, I heard Jingle Bells and I went, what did he do there?
But it's amazing the response I'm getting because when I finally released, or not even that, I kept it a secret that I was doing an album because I didn't know if I was going to be able to finish it in time. So I didn't want to put it out there and people, you know, they'd be like, well, where is it? And I'm like, well, it ain't done. I just had to do it. So I kept it a secret, but I kept listening to my peers and people when they talk about Christmas music, and they kept saying, you know, I don't want to hear all this sad Christmas music yet. You know, and I don't like Christmas music because it's sad. And people who don't have a mate or have a, you know, significant other, they like, you know, I don't have nobody, so I don't want to, you know, listen to that and, you know, all lovey-dovey and I don't have no one. And I just kept listening. I'm like, you know, God, I'm sure we're going to put a twist on this music. You know, I want it to be different. I want it to be a breath of fresh air, whereas someone who feels like that or who don't even like Christmas music, they would be like, I like that. That is totally different. And so I made sure I kept the focus on reverencing his birthday. That was the whole point. I wanted to give back to him. And whatever came out, everybody else could either feel that or, you know, whatever they, however they interpret it. And I think it was successful. I mean, I am getting some rave reviews about it. Even to the point, Trish, people are calling me a musical genius because of this Christmas album. And I don't
wow.
feel like that. I don't feel like that at all.
You know what, Demetrius, here's the thing. You know, you're 37. You have come from a youthful point of view with Christmas, with Crayon, because you decided, or God gave you the intuition, whatever it was, to be courageous with this. And it's so funny, now that you've mentioned that your family was going to be away for a certain amount of time, you figured, I better get it in. And you know what? It's like Barack Obama with a re-election. Guess what? I don't have anything to prove now. I'm just going to do what needs to get done.
That's it. That you are. That is absolutely right. You're right.
Yep, yep. So you had this time. You figured, I might as well go for it. Whatever he gives me, I'm going to listen. I'm going to put it down. So it was a very organic process. And that's the best projects in the world, organic.
It is, because as producers, you know, I did this with my first album, and a lot of artists do it with their albums. And producers, you know, sometimes we tend to overthink. Sometimes we tend to overanalyze, and, you know, we make things more complicated than they are. And I just wanted to be authentic. I didn't want a lot of soloing. I didn't want a lot of just trying to show what I can do. I just want to be organic and say, here's my worship to you. It's your birthday. Thank you for giving me this gift. And whatever comes out, here it is. You know, and I'm glad that happened. I'm really glad. And it's also making me think how I'm going to treat part two when I do the new album next year. You know, I'm going to take the same approach. You know, it might be some soloing, but it might just be some vibing. And that's what the Christmas album is. It's a vibe. It's not about soloing. It's just about vibing the moment, or being in the moment and just enjoying the music.
That's very cool. And coming from the place that you come from, that vibing is significant, because you don't take anything for granted. Nothing is a wasted moment for you. So that's important.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. Well, you know what? Greg Adams was here during the first hour, and he and Johnny Beaumont, oh, my gosh, that was so cool. Demetrius, you have to go back and listen to that first hour. And it's funny, because Greg Adams fans will be listening to this show for Greg, and Demetrius Neighbors fans will be listening to this show for Demetrius. So these fans are going to cross over and hear the other artist's music, which is awesome. But I got to play four songs for Greg, since he had to leave early. And I want to play four from Christmas with Crayon.
No problem.
So let us delve into one of the songs that really hit me right in the stomach and the heart. When I heard this, when I heard you do Silent Night. It was an entirely different vibe, okay? It was just so different for me to hear this. And how many times, I mean, you know, these poor disc jockeys at the stations that play Christmas music at Thanksgiving and then don't stop until after Christmas Day must be going insane. But when you hear a new and infused with life version of something that is in your head this holiday season, you just want to go, oh, thank you, God.
Exactly. And Silent Night, the way it ended up on the arrangement or the vibe of it, how it happened for me is that when I was, you know, I know the words to Silent Night. So to me, the more I kept playing it and thinking about it, I was like, you know, God, you was born on that day. So I can understand it being silent, you know, quiet at first, but once you're born, it should be majestic. It should be this big celebration. And so that's the tag on the end that you hear, that I'm really just celebrating his birth right then and there. And so it wound up going into this gospel artist. His name is Thomas Whitfield, and he's like the greatest pianist ever in gospel, composer-wise. His choir is the Thomas Whitfield Company, and I was fortunate. I have been fortunate that I have been a pianist for them for the last several years. And, I mean, this is a major gospel artist. I mean, he's no longer here, but I heard his song called Oh Hallelujah, and I put the tag on the end of Silent Night. So that's why it gets real big and it goes into this harmonic, just, I call it glory for his birth. That's what Silent Night meant to me. So.
Wow. Okay. Woo. That's so nice. It's you were in a zone when you did this.
Oh, yeah.
So let us play it for the folks. The very cool chat room we have going on here today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Demetrius Neighbors is my guest, and he's got a brand new project, Christmas with Crayon. And we'll have to get into Crayon and what that all means after this. But you have to hear Silent Night right now. Please enjoy. Thank you. See, now, here's the interesting thing about Demetrius Neighbors. When he does a song like that, say, Demetrius, I'm not sure anybody's going to tell you about this, but here's the kicker about you. With all of your background and the varying kinds of music that have you have made your own, and you couldn't help it. I mean, being raised in the church and feeling and hearing the music of your environment growing up and loving jazz and being trained in classics, you know, you have been in many, many circles put into a kind of cubbyhole in that folks have called you. And look, I'll say this, there's nothing wrong with being embraced by a certain kind of subdivision of jazz. but you are so much more than a smooth jazz artist. So much bloody more, because you have some chops there that harken back to a long time ago before you were born.
Yeah, I'm categorized as a smooth jazz artist because of the first album.
It wasn't, you know, completely contemporary. You know, people are silly to think that you just do one kind of style. You're not all about that.
Not at all. No, not at all. I actually love straight ahead jazz. I mean, the influence. Or I was influenced by, when I started playing in church, I was influenced by jazz and blues. But the one who really got me, or the mentor who really influenced me, was Chick Corea. When I heard Beneath the Mask by Chick Corea Electric Band, oh, my God. I was like, I want to play jazz. I think I was about 16 or 17 when I heard that album, and I was like, oh, my God, I want to play that. Yes, because Chick Corea is the man. So I truly love straight-ahead jazz, fusion, but I love it all, though. You know, R&B, hip-hop, and I've done it all. My musical journey has taken me so many ways, and I embrace every genre that I've been able to perform. And what I do is that I study each genre. So you might hear me on an R&B set, but yet I don't sound like I can play jazz. You might hear me playing some classical, yet I don't sound like I can play jazz or play gospel. You know, so I give each genre its respect, and then I make it my own.
Oh, well, I understand that completely, and I've heard you do that because I've heard you do your classical pieces, and they're mind-blowing. But here's the beauty of Christmas with Crayon. I'm hearing a lot of different kinds of sounds in one particular song, and that's the beauty of it. You know I get high about that because the show is called Hybrid Jazz.
Oh, yeah.
So you know how to keep it separate. And you know how to honor certain genres, but you know how to infuse what needs to get infusion.
Yes. Yes.
That's a big deal.
Sometimes, but you know what? Sometimes it's in the interview, you said something that was key. And you said something like, I'm paraphrasing. It's not an exact quote, so I'm paraphrasing. You said something about, he doesn't necessarily know where he's going.
Right.
You remember that?
That was in the review.
Like
that was in the review.
That was in the review.
Uh-huh.
And,
yep.
I actually love that statement because a lot of times I don't. I know what I hear. I know what I like. But sometimes I don't know where it's going to end up. I do not. It's like delivering toys, and you trying to look at each address, but you don't know where you're going. And I don't. A lot of times, I don't, Trish. I'm just going with what feels good, what sounds good to me, and what God allows to come, you know, to be creative, or you know, what comes in creation. So I don't, you know, that's my makeup. I don't know.
And Demetrius. You do not know how that resonates with me because I'm astounded. It's like God's trying to give me a message in the interviews for the past three times now. The other day, Jeff Antoniuk was here, who is a consummate saxophonist, teacher, a mentor. He has done a lot of work in this region, but he's originally from Canada. He's playing a big gig at Twins Jazz in D.C. this Friday and Saturday, a tribute to Monk. He is able to hear in his head, because he loves the work of Monk so much, to translate on keyboard what could be done on sax. So,
Oh, wow.
Isn't that awesome? He said it the first time, and then 2 days ago, Alfredo Rodriguez was here from Cuba, and he's a bad boy.
Bad boy,
and just played with Chick Corea a couple of months ago, by the way.
That's a bad boy. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. So they both said the same thing, and now you've said it, but here is what you don't know that you've said. They both talked about the thrill of improvisation, and that's essentially what you just said.
Oh, yeah. My master's, I'm getting my master's, and I will have it in April, so I'm very happy about that.
Wonderful.
And my master's is in improvisation from the University of Michigan. Go Blue!
Oh, my God!
Yep, so that is my, that's my major, improvisation. So that's another thing that I'm always doing. And basically, Christmas with Crayons, it's pretty much an improvisation. After you hear the melody, because, again, all of us know the Christmas songs. So the vibe after that is improvisation, but I just kept the lid on it. I just wanted a vibe. I didn't want a lot of solo on to go, you know, all that type of stuff. I could do that, but that's not what I wanted. So that's basically what you hear with Christmas with Crayon when I go to the different vibes or key changes. It's an improvisation happening right there, and I didn't try to correct it. Whatever came out, came out.
That is so cool, and you just raised an interesting point, because sometimes when you hear instrumentally inclined artists, basically jazz artists, when they do improvisation sometimes, it's not a way to draw the audience in. It's a way to drive them away, because that improvisation to them is very, very personal. And, yes, I recognize that maybe some folks are geniuses as far as that's concerned. But when you, and I'm talking about you, Demetrius Neighbors, when you are able to improvise in such a way as to say to somebody who's listening, come closer, I want to draw you in, I'm including my journey, I'm including melody in this, so I want you to feel a part of this musical environment that I have you in.
You are amazing with words.
Well,
you're correct, though. You're correct. Well, you know, us as artists, improvisers, sometimes it is pretty challenging to improvise and yet give you all what you want and us as artists be satisfied at the same time. Sometimes that is very challenging. And if you're not willing as an artist to let yourself go or don't worry about what you think, then that's what happens. We overplay. Or we do too much. And so that's, as artists, we have to be sensitive and not be selfish. And that's, again, Christmas with Crayon, yes, I'm the artist, but my motive was, it's not about me. This project is not about me. Yes, you were here. You were here what came out, and you were here the arrangements, and you hear me playing. But what you're here and what you're feeling is not about me. It's about Father. Is about the people listening. I was not selfish with this. So, and I didn't try to be one time. That was not the goal.
It's so interesting to hear the mind of a musician explain this, because, you know, you have to have a certain kind of intuition to know that when you're playing either on record or on the stage, you know when to, here are the words from The Gambler by Kenny Rogers from a long time ago. You got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the best. Those are the best words you can use right there. Exactly.
When do you reel it in? You know, you've got to have a sense of when the audience is like, right there, right there. And then you've got to say, okay, before they lose interest in this ADD world in which we live, I've got to go on to the next schedule of events here.
Yeah. Now, that's funny that you say that with the ADD and, you know, you feeling like I got to go to the next, either next song or I just got to move somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's funny. These songs on the album are you know, pretty short. And that just happened. It happened the way it happened. But, Trish, I'm getting flack because people want to hear the songs longer. And I'm like, really? I'm like, no. If you want to hear the songs longer, just you know, replay it.
Well,
you know,
this is the perfect opportunity for you to say to people, well, guess what? I do that in my live performance. So you'll have to come out and spend some money to see me.
Exactly. That's exactly what I've told a lot of people. I'm like, if you want to hear it longer, you got to come see me perform.
Yeah. Exactly.
There it is. I appreciate it. I mean, and I really do appreciate that they want to hear more, you know, but you give them just enough. You know,
yeah.
Just with the appetite, you, as an artist, you know, sometimes we need to know when the song is over. And when I was recording, I just, where it ended at, or, you know, I felt like that was it. You know, that's it.
Well, look, you know how people are. If you were to try, and certainly God has given you this instruction, I know that he's given this to me time and time again. If you were to please people, you'd be tearing clothes off. You'd be tearing what is left of any hair on your head off, if you have hair. If you don't have hair, you know how people are. They're never satisfied. So you've got to counter that kind of situation. And actually, that's a great big compliment to you. But,
yeah, it is.
You know, people are just funny. And say to them, next time I do a Christmas album, I'll do longer versions of these songs, and then you can make a comparison. In the meantime, buy it for your friends. Come support me when I do my gigs, and life will be good.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We haven't talked about it. You can get the album on iTunes. You can get it via PayPal. If you go to Facebook, everything is on my Facebook page. We have not updated the website because I move so fast on it. My graphics guy is, like, kind of mad at me right now.
Oh!
Yeah, so we're moving on that. But my website is www.dknmusic.com, www.dknmusic.com. But you can get the album at all your online retailers. If you want a hard copy, you can order from my link on PayPal. And that is on my Facebook page because, I mean, a lot of us is on Facebook. And if you just want to get in touch with me, you can get in touch with me at Crayon, K-R-A-Y-O-N, 04 at me.com, K-R-A-Y-O-N, 04 at me.com. And I will personally sign and ship it to you for free.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah,
Trish,
that's what's been happening. I have gotten so many orders via PayPal, and I have you know, autographed it and mailed it to everybody for free. Even though I have some international orders that I've done it the same way and just paid for the cost, because this was, you know, the Christmas album was not originally supposed to be done. So it's just my gift just to say thank you. If you purchased the album, I could ship it to you. Cost me a couple of dollars. Cost me maybe almost $10 international, but I don't care. I'm just saying thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my music. That's it.
That's so wonderful. Oh, my gosh. And while you're on the subject of Christmas with Crayon, inquiring minds want to know, how Crayon came to be.
Trish, we talked about this before, but for
everyone
else, yes, Crayon came to be from one of my dear big brothers. He used to, his name is Howard Webb, and he used to see me, he used to come see me perform, and I did some concerts with him, and, you know, he said every time he hear me play, arrange, compose, I have so much color in my music. He said, I'm going to start calling you Crayon. And
I love
he
that.
Said it, I was like, man, I like it. I even got a tattoo, too, Crayon.
Do you?
Yep, I got it tattooed on me. I love it. It was, when he said it, I was like, wow, yes, that's cool.
It's so hip. It really is, and it fits you so well because it's like one of those things that in Philly we used to see this all the time because there was graffiti everywhere. It's like one of those things that you would see on the train going past North Philly or going past Chestnut Hill when there was a bridge underpass. You would see Crayon written in big bold letters.
Oh,
I love it.
So, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it really is. And you know what? Let me ask you this because I know that you had a big year, and this is a twofold question. What were some of the big moments for you in 2012, and what do you see happening in 2013?
Ooh, a couple of big moments. The top two moments that I could think of right off the cuff is the first one being able to record with Lee Ritenour. I'm on his latest album that came out.
I know you are. I know you are.
In October, yes. I'm on Punta de Sol that was written by Dave Grusin. And the cool thing about it was that recording happened in June, and I get to, you know, we were able to spend a few days with Lee. He is the coolest cat ever. He's so down to earth, it's ridiculous. I was like,
that's awesome.
That's how I want to be. And, I mean, you're talking about Lee Ritenour. This man has how many albums?
I know.
I mean, if you walked up to him and you didn't know who he was, you would think he was a regular person. He does not act sadiddy, arrogant, anything. Now, he knows his music. But when you meet him, he is so humble. I was like, that's exactly how I want to be. And that was inspiring. So that was a huge moment to be on an album that has Chick Corea, Stanley Clark, George Duke, you know, Patrice Rushen, John Beasley, Dave Grusin. I mean, so many legends that's on that album. And that was one of the biggest moments right there of the whole year.
I'll bet.
And the second one is that I was able to be on Kemp, K-E-M.
Oh, yeah.
His Christmas album. Yeah, I'm on his Christmas album.
That is awesome.
I played on six tracks out of 10, and I co-produced two. I did not know that was going to happen. He called me in for like one song, and it turned into six. And I was like, that is nothing but God.
That really is. And that is so funny that you would say that, because next Thursday around this time, Brian O'Neill's going to be with me.
Yeah, that's another one. That's my big brother right there. That's my man. Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's awesome. It's a small world, isn't it?
It is. It's a small world. But those are the two biggest things. Well, no, yeah, that's top two. And then a couple of other moments is just being able to do my concerts and me performing as, you know, Demetrius Crayon Neighbors. It was basically the first summer of me doing a lot of performances as an artist. So that was sweet all summer. That was very, you know, very good.
And I'll say this about Lee Ritenour, and then I'm going to ask you about 2013. What you see from Lee Ritenour, having interviewed him a few months ago on the other show, Cool Jazz Conversations, Lee is somebody who really understands from soup to nuts how important it is to give back. And what he has done with mentorship and scholarships, oh, my God, Demetrius, he's amazing. He's such a generous person, and that's
yeah.
got to come out with his spirit and his music, and it does.
It does. I mean, again, he's awesome. He believed in us. You know, that was a competition that went I think it went to like 52 or 58 countries.
Yes.
And, you know, to come out on top like that, you know, it was amazing. And just for him to believe in everyone and give everyone a chance and to even record with him, you know, he's basically, you know, sowing a seed into the new jazz generation. I mean, the man is awesome. He's a giver. He's a giver. And him and I still keep in contact with each other every 2 to 3 weeks.
That's great.
You know,
That's great.
I call him, he answers, and he even calls me. So, I mean, Lee Ritenour is, you know, he's just an amazing human being.
That's wonderful to hear that, because the pictures, I saw some of the pictures from those sessions, and everybody looks so happy and so thrilled to work with one another.
Let me tell you, and that wasn't a facade. It wasn't
yep.
something we put on. It was just natural. When I tell you, the whole 6-3 competition band that won, that was all grand prize winners that you saw, we all got along. And you're talking about 6 individuals who've never met each other. We're all from across the globe.
Yep.
You know, you have ones from Holland. You have one from the Netherlands, from Turkey, from New York. I'm from Detroit. And everyone got along. And it was just amazing. It was just amazing experience. And we all bonded. We were brothers. And we still are. We still keep in touch with one another. It's amazing. It was just amazing.
I am so tickled to hear that. And what about 2013? What would you like to see happen, or what do you know is going to happen?
Well, 2013, the first thing I know that is going to happen is that I'm graduating. When I tell
Yay!
You I can't wait to this, when I tell you I can't wait till this master's program is over.
I'll bet. Oh my gosh, how have you been able to do it?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, this 2 years have blown by, but when I say I am glad, I will be glad when April gets here and I can say I am done with that master's program, and hopefully just continue to do some dates, do some more. I want to do more dates in 2013 when school is over. I really can concentrate on my solo career and continue to produce for, you know, everyone's album, you know, or work on, you know, some more albums. And then I'm going to release part 2.
I'm going to work on
part 2 after I graduate. That part, you know, I'm on this timeline where it seems like I keep, you know, releasing the albums around my birthday. So it probably will come out around my birthday again next year. You know, I need to get off the end of the year, but, you know, it just happens like that, so.
Well,
yeah.
You know what? It gives you a focal point to know what to prioritize and what goes on the back burner for a little while, because it puts a bookmark in the year, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I could say for 2013, it looks to bring in that I'll probably produce some more for Randy Scott. You know, jazz saxophonist Randy Scott.
Oh, great.
And I produced with Tim Bowman. We're going to work on something, you know, regarding his new album and, you know, some other things, too, that I'm not going to quite release yet. But
sure.
It looks very promising. So the 2013 is going to be a new beginning for a lot of things. And the major thing that I think is going to happen, I cannot wait to share that with you, but I'm not going to speak on it just yet, but it's so important to me when it happens, and I will let you know, and that's a personal thing that I will share with everybody, but I will share with you first, then we'll share with everybody else.
That is wonderful,
so
and there's no doubt.
Yeah.
These are going to be big things. I know you are. And what I want you to do, think about over the holiday season is, as you anticipate graduating in April, maybe you want to get a hold of the festivals. Like maybe you can celebrate because Berks Jazz is in April. Maybe you can fly out to Reading, PA, and maybe you can figure out what's happening with the jazz festivals in the later part of the year, so you can be on that roster.
Yeah, that's that is probably one of the challenging things as an independent artist. It's really trying to get on these festivals. You know, it's all about relationships, that is, and that's pretty tough. I can't even hide that feeling that is, Trish. That is pretty tough. So,
well, you know what? Establish the relationships. Make sure you have a camaraderie and get to know these people from a different angle, so that they know it's all about who you know, and you be top of mind when they think about how to fill out that schedule lineup.
Exactly. But I also believe, I do my best to reach out and, just interact with people and just learn them, period. But I also know that, God has my back. He's going to take care of me with this. And I have learned through the years, it is all in His timing. And I've really seen that over the past couple of years. He's just lining things up. He is just lining things up. So I believe, things are going to happen. It's going to increase even more, next year. So, yes.
Yes. I should have known that would have been your answer, because that would be the answer I would expect from you. God bless you. Well,
yeah.
It has been a trip, and I know that you're on the road, and the hour has flown by, and I'm going to play another song, the song that started it all. For Christmas with Crayon.
No, Trish, we do this all the time. Last time we did this with the interview, time just flew by because we were having so much fun on the interview.
You're just one of those really special people. You always have been. You always will be. You get so much, not only about the music business, but what God has in mind. And this is the thing. You've been really faithful as to what He has wanted you to do, so that's why you're getting blessing after blessing.
Yes.
Yep. So there's church for today, Demetrius Neighbors.
Exactly.
You be careful.
I wish I was at home because I could be on the chat room to see what people are saying, what they're thinking about the music. That's the only thing I miss, that I'm driving. I'm not able to interact with everybody on the chat. I kind of miss that. That's fun.
Oh, it is. And actually, at 9 times out of 10, the folks in the chat room are really listening to what you have to say, and they're certainly doing that today. Not to say that they're not doing other things while they're listening, but they're really paying attention to what you say. So that really is the highest compliment of all.
Yes. So if they're paying attention, please go to iTunes, Amazon, your online retailers, and download Christmas with Crayon featuring Demetrius Crayon Neighbors. Get your copy today. Get your copy today. Thank you.
Oh, my God. I think we got to put you in broadcasting school, y'all. That's hilarious. You're so funny. I really wish you safety on the road, first of all, and brilliant success in the year ahead, and a really wonderfully blessed holiday season with you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You are welcome. It's a pleasure to know you. It really is, Demetrius.
Likewise, Trish.
And I'll hold you to sharing those secrets with me in the new year.
Well, I will. I usually always let you know what's going on. Definitely.
I know you do. And it's so cool. And if folks have, if there's too much information in their heads right now, a lot of these folks in the chat room know to go to my Facebook page, because on it today is a link to CD Baby where they can buy your music.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And we're going to hear Christmas Time is Here as we end our little journey on the show.
Trish, love you.
Love you too. Please take care, okay?
All right.
All right. I'll see you soon.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, Demetrius. This is so awesome. Man, what a show so far. I love it. And now it's music time again. Just 2 minutes and about 13 seconds worth of Christmas time is here from Christmas with Crayon on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Mm-hmm.
hear the crystal raindrops fall on the window down the hall, and it becomes the morning dew. And darling, when the morning comes and I see the morning sun, I want to be the one with you, just the two of us. We can make it if we try, just the two of us.
Mercy, isn't that good? Isn't that good? Whew. Lord, I could do another 7.5 minutes of that. Just the two of us. And I know I've played that song a time or two on Hybrid Jazz, but I'm playing it for a specific reason today. And that's because Grover Washington Jr. and Bill Withers, God bless him, Grover Washington Jr.'s remembrance of his birthday was yesterday. And man, when December 12th hits, it for those of us who were born and raised in Philly, it's a little different, just because it wasn't Grover's place of origin. Buffalo, New York was, but he came to Philly in 1967, so we claim him as our own. And remembering him and the impact, oh my gosh, soul-infused jazz, one of the most influentially best in that regard that has ever been. December 12, 1943 was his birth date. He passed away December 17, 1999 under some so sad circumstances. He was, I remember this. He was in New York, CBS Saturday show. He had just done 4 songs and he had taped them. He was waiting in the green room, and he had a heart attack. And at 7:30 that night at St. Luke's in New York City, he was pronounced dead, 56 years old. What a legacy of music he left behind. I don't know of a single saxophonist in the Baltimore area for sure that when you mention the name Grover Washington Jr., his or her eyes don't glaze over. That is some kind of legacy to leave behind. D.C. as well, certainly in Philly, where we thought the world of him. But you might not know about this. So wild how this happens. And it happens to quite a few people. One of those sets of circumstances where you have an oh-no moment. Oh, no. Hank Crawford can't do this 1971 gig that Creed Taylor had in mind for the recording studio. Who do we get if we can't get Hank Crawford? Let's get that substitute guy, Grover Washington Jr., that's his name, right? Let's see if he can do it. And sure enough, he did for Creed Taylor's Kudu record label. And then it was Inner City Blues that Grover Washington did that just kind of catapulted him into the spotlight just because Hank Crawford couldn't do that date on that particular occasion. Grover's dad played the sax, and his mom was immersed in music. So here was Grover playing when he was 8, got real good when he was 10, and within a couple of years' time, he was playing in clubs. He wasn't even a teenager yet. So he just inspired and lit the way for so many after him. And just hearing that particular song that had so many accolades in 1980 from Wine Light, man, how many times have you heard Just the Two of Us in the past many years? It says everything. So, Grover, we miss you. We will always love you. And I'm telling you, anybody who's listening who can pick up a YouTube video and see him do his thing live, what a heart and soul this man had, just precious as can be, and playing with all his might, all of that rhythm and blues and soul and love of jazz, was able to mesh that all together and make it a palatable mix that people are talking about now and will be for years to come. You know it. Dexter Gordon had certainly that kind of legacy too, didn't he? Oh my gosh, you kidding me? What we heard was a holiday track from a non-holiday album called The Panther in 1970 with Larry Ridley on bass, Tommy Flanagan on piano, Alan Dawson on drums, and Dexter doing his thing on sax. Woo-hoo-hoo. If you want to ever get the consummate music package for a jazz lover who has even remotely expressed love for Dexter Gordon, get that complete 11 CD from Prestige. Prestige Recordings. There's like 88 plus tracks on there. Man, that is choice stuff. And we could wax poetic about Dexter Gordon right now, but the Christmas song, wasn't that done in a lovely manner from Dexter and company? And Demetrius Neighbors. Christmas time is here. It sure is. It's the 13th. And if you are like me, swallowing really hard, knowing that it's just a handshake away from Christmas, whew, Christmas time is here. Gets you where you live. Oh, my gosh, does it ever. And I wanted to play another Christmas track. I wanted to play this last time around, but never got a chance to. And since Demetrius Crayon Neighbors mentioned Chick Corea, how's about we pair up Chick Corea with Herbie Hancock, shall we? A little Deck the Halls action for you? Yeah, let's do that. This is one of these pieces where you'll go, wait a minute, what was that? It's just so cool to play this track, actually, from a compilation that we'll talk about after the fact. We'll play a couple of songs and tell you about it on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. myself a very little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years, we all will be together if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough, and help yourself a merry little Christmas
Lovely. It's just so wonderful to hear that song in the capable hands of somebody who knows how to sing it. Diana Krall, Christmas Songs featuring the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra. Man, something else. On Verve, just a few years ago. How long ago was this? 2005. I say a few. What? It's 7 years ago now. How did that happen? But Diana Krall, looking good on this. Not as good as she looks on the new album cover. You might want to check out dianakrall.com and find out more about that. But let me say something about Diana. Before anything else gets said, you can imagine that her head is still spinning, because I don't know how much time anybody was given to know who was going to be playing with who last night at this 12-12-12 concert at Madison Square Garden for the benefit of folks who were victimized by Superstorm Sandy. But one of those pivotal moments on stage when Sir Paul McCartney was on there looking like he was about 30 years old and he's 70, he was looking so good last night. I just did a double take because he did not look great at the Olympics, and that was in his home turf. Maybe he looked at the shots from after the whole extravaganza was over and thought, bloody what? I look terrible. But he did something with his hair, and he must be taking some energy pills, or he and Nancy must be having a fun time each night of the week. I don't know what the story is, but he looked great. So as he's on stage ripping the roof off Madison Square Garden, by the way, playing like he is an original member of Nirvana, which he might be doing, he calls out Diana Krall to the stage to play piano for him. And she, little Canadian girl that she is, must be tripping still. And I know that if she's not, her husband, Elvis Costello, is. To be playing with Sir Paul McCartney and company, that was something else. There wasn't a whole lot of women on that stage, and that made me a little sad, but I wasn't sad because I know it generated a lot of money for a lot of people, and that was the result for this. They just wanted to generate a lot of money, and you can imagine that with Springsteen and Bon Jovi and, The Who, and the myriad of people that were there, including Paul Schaefer, Greg Adams' good friend. Kanye West is a different story. Let's not go there. But anyway, the concert, for the most part, was really, really good, more than good. It was just breathtaking. And the Rolling Stones, how on earth they are able to do their thing. I have to share this. Mick Jagger looked pretty good. He probably has the same fighting weight that he did back in the 60s when he first came to pass. The Rolling Stones have been doing their thing for a very long time. But if you saw Keith Richards and Ronnie Wood, it sort of reminded me of the scene from Pirates of the Caribbean when the corpses came out to fight with each other. It was so crazy to see Keith Richards. Oh, my God. How on earth has that boy managed to keep himself alive? God bless him. It's a wonderful thing, but I digress. Diana Krall was just wonderful last night. Too brief of an appearance. Glad Rag Doll is the name of her new album. Just breathtaking. Cold from all the times she snuck into her dad's little room to get his jazz LPs out and listen to them. So she just memorized all that great jazz. And you know she's got it in her soul. She is doing some dates in 2013 for the support of this album like I can't believe. She is coming to this part of the world. She is going to Wilmington, Delaware. She's playing in her native Canada. Everywhere. It's just wonderful to see that. Diana Krall. Love her. Corinthia Cromwell, Peace of Mind Outside the Lines, our Baltimore girl who just is doing so many wonderful things. Her Evolution band backing her up. Corinthia has played with Kirk Whalum, Wayman Tisdale, God rest his soul, Marion Meadows. She started out doing her thing playing at Frederick Douglass High School. And here's a little Christmas story for you. Corinthia, Chrissy, was playing classical clarinet, and she discovered the saxophone. She knew that her school had a jazz band. She really took to what the sax sounded like, so she asked one of her mentors, teachers, if she could take the sax home with her during Christmas break so she could learn to play it. And he said yes. She took the sax home. She came back from Christmas break, and she tried out to be the second chair for the jazz band in high school. And the teacher was so impressed, he said, you know what, you're showing so much promise, I want you to be first chair. Woohoo! So she has done wonderful things, has been in a couple of movies, and she is touring everywhere. She's looking forward to 2013, especially in support of this, and Peace of Mind Outside the Lines. And what you heard is a track that is biblically based, because actually this album is half gospel and half jazz. Sam's Jam, as in the book of Samuel. She's that cool, I know. On the saxophone, and she has Cyrus Chestnut on piano on a track on this album too. The Immortal Nature Boy. And you've heard me play that before, too. Whew, such a lot of music, and we want to get to a few more tracks. I wanted to tell you that we played Herbie Hancock with Chick Corea. Deck the Halls is what we heard from Jingle Bell Swing with Ed Shaughnessy of the Old Tonight Show on drums. And what you heard is, how do you pronounce this? Nonet, N-O-N-E-T, featuring Woody Shaw on trumpet. Ooh, 1969 or thereabouts it was recorded. And on this particular album, Louis Prima is on it, Glenn Miller, Benny Goodman, and Peggy Lee. This Jingle Bell Swing album is so phenomenal. You can get your hands on it. Please do. Just, it will infuse you with holiday cheer. No joke. A couple of more songs we wanted to play. And one of them is by John Coltrane. Yeah. And like Dexter Gordon and the Panther, in which Dexter included a holiday track on that particular project, John Coltrane chose, thank you, Trish, speak English. I'm just getting a little excited. John Coltrane chose to include Greensleeves on this particular album, which was called Africa/Brass. So if you have never heard John Coltrane do this before, your ears are going to get a treat on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Very, very nice. And we're not going to have time to play that second tune, but that's okay. It will keep. It gives me an opportunity to spend just a little bit of time to tell you that was John Coltrane and Company. And the company on this Africa Brass album is amazing. Among others, Freddie Hubbard was on this, Eric Dolphy, Elvin Jones. It was such a turnabout for John Coltrane because besides his regular guys, he wanted to go for that big band sound with French horns and euphonium. So everybody took a step back in 1961 when they heard this. Greensleeves being one of those tunes that really spun some heads. Wow, how come this song is on this particular album? Arranged, by the way, by McCoy Tyner, whose birthday was just the other day. I believe McCoy turned 82. God bless him. I'm so happy that he's still with us. So happy for all these wonderful legends to still be with us. Coltrane is not, and Grover Washington Jr. is not, but we got to hang on to the folks who are. Oh, my God. Wasn't that a piece of work? Just so lovely. And we're going to wrap it up. Honestly, it's been a show and a half today. I didn't really expect to have, I expected Greg Adams for sure, but Johnny Beaumont, I did not know. JB, thank you so much. God bless you. Can't wait to meet you and Greg in person. And Daryl Walker, oh my God, when East Bay Soul comes to Ram's Head on the 29th. Cannot wait. RamsHeadOnStage.com. More information on that. Or you can go to Greg Adams. Or you can go to East Bay Soul, Google, and find out all sorts of wonderful information about Greg's background. Demetrius Neighbors, quite another story. Oh, my God. We had piano and trumpet on Tuesday. Piano and trumpet again today. Next time around, it'll be Slim Man. He'll be hanging with us about the 2 o'clock hour Eastern time or so. He's got a big show in Baltimore at La Scala in Little Italy for the benefit of the Mount Washington Pediatric Hospital. Learn more at slimman.com. Thank you to Beach and to Matt and to Griselda and to the myriad of folks that we had in the chat room today. God bless you all. We'll see you next Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Get a Christmas tree.